You're listening to Succeed, Just Let Go, the podcast that'll change how you think and change your life. I'm Willie Horton and I'm a psychologist, been helping people change their lives since 1996, broadcasting from the French Alps, and delighted to have you along. Let's take this week's step in the right direction. I want to talk about your humanity in this week's podcast. You may take your humanity for granted. After all, you are a human being, or at least to all intents and purposes, you are. You're probably more likely to be a human thinking or a human doing rather than simply a human being, just being. The essence of humanity in being in the moment, you discover your own true nature and you discover your inner power, a power that is linked to the flow of universal energy. Statements of scientific fact, not some highfalutin spiritual idea. But when we take anything for granted, we're on a slippery slope. For example, as we've discussed recently, when people do discover their own inner power and do see the tangible, real results that, quote unquote, fall into their lap as a result of their being, and by that I mean being present in the here and now, they take that way of living for granted. And then they, as we said recently, forget that they need to maintain their presence of mind. They need to continue being. They need to continue allowing themselves be and let it be. This is the essence of your humanity. Now, you may consider that my use of the word humanity is a strange one. But then again, a good friend of mine recently said to me that he was listening to a podcast where a well-respected scientist, and I can't remember his name, you may be able to tell me who I'm talking about, said that as a result of recent innovations, particularly in artificial intelligence, humanity was losing its soul. Now, soul is a really interesting word to be used by a scientist, because it isn't a word that you hear bandied about very often, except in the spiritual realm of things. And very often when one gets into spirit and soul, one considers that we've drifted off into religion. Now, by the way, nothing could be more different than spirituality and religion. I recollect many, many years ago when our now 35-year-old son was preparing for his first Holy Communion in Dublin, back in, 1997, maybe? Second year of my working for myself. I was called to a parent-teacher meeting. Well, myself and Lise were both called to the parent-teacher meeting, but we had two other young children at the time as well, so I drew the short straw. And at the parent-teacher meeting, we were broken into groups so that we could have a little discussion among parents with regard to how our sons were preparing for their first Holy Communion. And the subject we were given to explore was the role of spirituality and religion in the home. And I put up my hand, as I often do. I put my head above the parapet and I said, "That's a meaningless question." And the principal of the school said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Spirituality and religion are two completely different things." Now, I was politely asked to, first of all, maybe zip it, keep my mouth shut, or it might be preferable if I went out the back door and had a cup of tea that was otherwise being prepared for us when the conversation had finished. The point is that religion is actually one of the reasons and one of the causes why we have gradually, as humans, been losing our humanity or losing our soul over a protracted period of time. Bear with me on this, because this is really important. My friend, Dennis, you will have heard me refer to Dennis in Tucson before, and I were chatting last week, and he asked me, what did I think of artificial intelligence? Because the quote from the scientist that I mentioned a minute ago was related to how we as the human race are losing our humanity or losing our soul as a result of almost surrendering ourselves to the promise of great things from artificial intelligence. He said, what do you think of AI? I said, surely you mean ALI. He said, what do you mean? I said, artificial lack of intelligence. And Dennis said to me, but AI has been programmed using all of the knowledge in the world. And I've reflected on that since. I've reflected on how, for example, various musicians, rock bands, hard rock, heavy metal bands, have taken issue with their music being used to fuel the knowledge base of artificial intelligence. Same thing in relation to a number of authors. But let me come back to the rock bands for a start, because many of the people involved would freely admit to the fact that when they wrote that stuff, they were coming at the joy of composing from an altered state of mind. Now, they weren't meditating, they were taking stuff to experience that altered state of mind. And when you consider that much of the wisdom or knowledge that AI has gathered onto itself to enable it become intelligent, we'll come back to the word intelligence in a couple of minutes. You might consider, for example, that all of the great artists, or the vast majority of them, in the Impressionist movement, or after that in the Cubist movement, they were all high. The Impressionists, mainly based in Paris, were damaging their brains by drinking absinthe every night to the point where absinthe was actually banned because it was proven to result in brain damage. Steve Jobs, now we all know who Steve Jobs is, one of the leading lights of the technical revolution that has led to us all carrying AI around with us in our pockets. Steve Jobs said the best thing that he'd ever done in his life was drop acid. There are so many people who have been coming at greatness from an altered state of mind. Now, we leave some other people out of the equation, like former President Bill Clinton, because apparently he never actually inhaled. Okay, that's an aside. But the point I'm making, we could talk about the current incumbent in the White House as well, couldn't we? And I know he's probably not taking something or anything, but would somebody please give him a stiff scotch and soda because he needs to chill out a little. Anyway, that is an aside. I want to talk about the fact that we have this body of so-called knowledge. Maybe that's the right word for it, because I'll explain what I mean by that in a moment. We have this body of so-called knowledge that people are now turning to as a means of enabling them do the things that they do every day in their lives, enabling them write articles, enabling them find out what's the best way to do this, that, or the other, asking ChatGPT for advice. God help us. So my friend Dennis said to me, he said, do you think humanity is losing its soul as a result of AI? To which I replied that humanity started losing its soul 7 or 8,000 years ago. Humanity started losing its soul when, if I can borrow an analogy from the Bible, humans who were living in an ideal state ate of the apple of knowledge. The apple of knowledge. We were talking about Steve Jobs a minute ago. The apple of knowledge. In other words, thought crept over the fence into the human experience of everyday life and began to eat it from the inside out. Humans existed in an entirely different way, and existence is the wrong word for it because humans were living their life to the full before thought crept over the fence. I want to explain to you what life was like before humans started thinking. I'm quoting from the Taoist writings of Kuangzi, but those writings were actually quoting from earlier writings that date back 10, 11, 12 and a half thousand years ago. Just want to quote this to you, and then you can reflect on what it means to you. I was going to say that you can reflect and think on it. Thinking is a dangerous thing. Bear with me. We're talking about an age before thought. We're talking about what the writer describes as the age of perfect virtue. In the age of perfect virtue, they attached no value to wisdom, nor employed men of ability. Superiors were but as higher branches of a tree, and the people were like the deer of the wild. They were upright and correct, without knowing that to be so was righteousness. They loved one another without knowing that to do so was benevolence. They were honest and loyal-hearted without knowing that that was loyalty. They fulfilled their engagements without knowing that to do so was good faith. In their simple movements, they employed the services of one another without thinking that they were conferring or receiving a gift. Men lived in common with birds and beasts and were on terms of equality with all creatures as forming one family. How could they know among themselves the distinctions of superior men and small men? Equally without knowledge, they did not leave the path of their natural virtue. Equally free from desires, they were in a state of pure simplicity. And in that state of pure simplicity, the nature of people is what it ought to be. We've talked before in this podcast, and by the way, I could go on and on and on and quote from a variety of different writings that explain how we were before we started thinking. I didn't say thinking too much, I said thinking at all. I would suggest that you listen back to what I've just read to you because it gives us an insight into our humanity. About 7,000 years ago, having existed on this earth in harmony with everything around us, we started farming. And then we started owning farms. And then one tribe's farms was better than another tribe's farms, so the second tribe wanted what the first tribe had. All conflict arose from thinking that one wanted more, as distinct from just being, as I said right at the beginning of this podcast, just being, as the writing I've just read says, just being in a state of simplicity. As we've said before, if you just are in the here and now, all is well. We started losing our humanity. Or humanity started losing its soul with the onset of what's mine is yours. My tribe is better than your tribe. My nation is better than your nation. My religion is better than your religion. As we've said before, everything that is bad in your life, actually, I think we said this last week, everything that is bad in your life has come from thought. And people who are trying to control your thought are further robbing of the humanity that you are actually assuming that it's okay to take for granted. As I said a few minutes ago, the minute we take anything for granted, that's an awfully slippery slope. So people who are manipulating public opinion, either through social media or alternative truth, you know what I mean by that. People who are doing that are further robbing your humanity, but they're actually robbing their own humanity as well. By coincidence, myself and my wife and my son were sitting having a chat when he was here over Easter about artificial intelligence. And we were talking about how the world of normal, crazy people had become just that bit a little crazier as a result of people depending on being fed stuff by other people. And my son comes out with this gem. He said, sure, look at Elon Musk. Elon Musk was radicalized by his own algorithm. We live in a crazy world. Now, as we know from previous conversations, this world started getting crazy the minute we started thinking for ourselves. Now, isn't that interesting? Thinking for ourselves rather than being for the benefit of all those around us, a world apart. Now, you might say to yourself, am I contradicting myself? Because I've said before you are the most important person in your life and you need to push yourself first. Yes, I have said that, and I have said that on multiple occasions over the last 200 plus episodes of this podcast. But that meant a completely different thing, that you need to look after your state of mind so that you can be, so that you can be a true human being, flowing in your own nature, so that in that pure state of being and simplicity, your nature is what it ought to be. We've talked before about how we need to put our own oxygen mask on first and make sure that it's put on properly before we help others with those. That's what I'm talking about and have been talking about in relation to you being the most important person in your life. It means that you put your own state of mind and your own being first. But the problem is that when we started thinking for ourselves, it took us away from our own true nature. And over the centuries, over the millennia, as our brains, the actual neural pathways in our brains adjusted, they formed a fast track to enable our way of thinking for ourselves, run our lives. Now, there may be a letter missing from that word, run, because when you consider that the normal crazy person operating on autopilot crawls through the day totally unaware of what is going on because the autopilot is running on pre-programmed, repetitive patterned thinking that it learned by taking snapshots of things that were done to us during our formative years, and that together, that body of thought amounts to 70,000 thoughts whizzing through our head every waking day. You will realize that the brain that evolution gave us has done us a grave disservice. Yes, it has enabled us to survive, but for what? To be stressed? To suffer heart disease? To suffer from type 2 diabetes, as we discussed a few weeks ago, to get cancer. All the things I've just mentioned, by the way, are as a result of thought. We've said in the episode entitled Your Health is Your Wealth that over 90% of serious illness is as a result of lifestyle, or more to the point, as a result of lifestyle choice. And just to reiterate it, because somebody will pick me up on it, because some people already have, they said, but cancer runs in my family. Yeah, genetics, as we said a few weeks ago, loads the gun. The choices that you make from a lifestyle perspective pull the trigger. Many of us could be susceptible to all kind of disease, but our bodies heal themselves when our mind is at ease. Now, when your mind is operating from thought, your mind is ill at ease. It's as simple as that. Why? Because most of the 70,000 thoughts are negative. Why? Because we took more negative psychological snapshots than positive ones, if we took any positive ones at all in our formative years. Why? Because being negative kept us on our toes in evolutionary times, but it's been an awfully slippery slope since evolutionary times. Back in evolutionary times and in the early part of those times, our nature was as it ought to be, quote unquote. We gradually lost the plot as a result of thought. And so-called leaders of our world have since played on their ability to control our thought. We had Nazi Germany, where the Minister for Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, was in charge of forming people's opinions and manipulating public thought. Now, the interesting thing is that somebody in the US Senate actually quoted Goebbels as a good example of how the state should act just a few weeks ago. That's the slippery slope we are on globally. But you and I have been on a slippery slope all of our lives since we were about 2.5 years old. As we've said before, it is during that third year of our lives that we take the most fundamentally important psychological snapshots that form our way of viewing ourselves, and as a result, our way of not being. Jean-Paul Sartre said that I think, therefore I am. So much for French philosophy. He got it back to front. I was going to say something else. He got it the wrong way around. I think, therefore I am not, is actually what modern neuroscience is proving. When I stop thinking, when I experience the here and now, when I am, when I let myself be, when I just let it be, my true humanity comes to the surface. I can do no wrong. I can't put a foot wrong when I'm in that state of mind, because the inner me that is unleashed as a result of that cessation of the noise in my own head, the inner power that is unleashed, is only a force for good. So all these people, and you may be one of them, and I was one of them at one point along the way as well. All these people who are clamoring to get up the greasy pole, all these people who want more money, all these people who think they need more money, they are moving further and further away from the simplicity of being where, to quote Tony DeMello, all is well. Now, I could quote Chopra and Tully on that as well. In the here and now, you don't have a care in the world. In the here and now, there is no such thing as stress, because as we said before, it's the choices you make that create the stress in your life, not the external challenges or pressures. It is the lifestyle choice that you make that leads to stress in your life. That's the lifestyle choice that we were talking about a few minutes ago in relation to illness, in relation to serious illness. We're not talking about making the right choice or the wrong choice in relation to how much you drink or what you eat or whether or not you exercise. We're talking about the one and only choice that you need to get right, whether I'm thinking or whether I'm present. That's the only choice you need to get right. Because if you get that right moment to moment, as I said a minute ago, you'll never put a foot wrong. You'll always eat the right stuff. You'll never drink too much of the wrong stuff. A little of what you fancy never did you any harm. You will look after your body without having to think about it. Go back to the quote that I read from a few minutes ago. Everything was done effortlessly and in pure simplicity without thinking about it. As we've said on so many occasions, we as human beings are at our best when we are not thinking. Let me go one step further. We as human beings are actually human again when we are not thinking. Now, somebody picked me up on this on YouTube, a comment on a YouTube video a couple of days ago, where they said, well, you know, some thinking is okay. What about logical thinking? Yeah, what about logical thinking? Logical thinking assumes that life travels in straight lines. Lateral thinking assumes that the logical thinker is drunk or has dropped acid or something. Neither way of thinking will actually enable you flow freely and do just what you need to do effortlessly to get to where you need to go. We've talked about this on many occasions, and the example I always give is that if you are unhappy with your life at the moment and you've evaluated where you are in your life at the moment, or unhappy in your own skin. Now, by the way, as we said a minute ago, you just learned who you think you are during the third year of your life. So if you are unhappy in your own skin, it's all down to thought. But say, as a result of you evaluating how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your life, at this moment in time, you decide, well, I'm at position A in my life. And then you reflect on what would good life be like for you? if you'd got all your lifestyle choices right. And you might say to yourself, well, that would be position H. Logical thinking will dictate that you need to move through each milestone, B, C, D, E, F, and G, in the logical steps that you need to take to get to position H. That is not how the universe works. It is not how universal energy works. It is not how everyday life works when you let your logical thinking go and simply be. It was proven in the 1940s that the subconscious mind, as it was called at the time, the subconscious mind is actually housed in the subcortical brain. We're back heading in the direction of soul and spirit here. It was proved in the 1940s that the subconscious mind has a cybernetic quality. In other words, it's like a heat-seeking missile. From your diminished little position of A, were you to give your subconscious mind the coordinates of H, your subconscious mind will take you to H along the line of least resistance. And all resistance comes from thought. Thought is the resistor in your life. Let me explain what I mean by that in actual life or death practice. The brain, as I said, evolved to ensure that you are not present, you are never aware. The brain evolved so that you make it through the day using the thoughts that you learned during the third year of your life, when you actually were present, by the way. Indeed, all our development up to 12 or 13 years of age is done with a view to ensuring that around 13 years of age, I can go hunting for tonight's dinner without paying any attention to anything other than the fact that I might encounter a life-threatening situation. That's the way we survived in evolutionary times. Now, say if I was out hunting for tonight's dinner and I did encounter a life-threatening situation, a person-eating beast rustled through the bushes and stared me in the face. My mind was designed and my neural pathways were structured to ensure that when confronted by that life-threatening situation, I would not think about it. Instead, I would let the subconscious mind, the heat-seeking missile, I'd let the subconscious mind, or in neurological terms, the subcortical brain, I would let that act without my thinking about it. And what science, neuroscience, has proved is that if I walk into a space or a place, like my hunter-gatherer distant ancestor, or like you or I today, we walk into a place where we've never been before. The hippocampus, which is the key part of the subcortical brain, will immediately I enter that space, have a 3D map of exactly where I am. So that should I be confronted by a life-threatening situation, I will know exactly what to do, where to go, and how to get there with without thinking about it. In other words, our brain evolved to ensure that we met our primary goal, survival, by doing what needed to be done without thinking about it. We are at our best when we are not thinking. And I can't think of any thinking that is good thinking because all thinking leads to overthinking and leads to bad thinking. Now, the person who picked me up on YouTube in relation to this said, I wouldn't want your listeners to think of the mind as an enemy. The mind is your greatest power. It's what you do with your mind that matters. And what we need to do with our mind is allow it experience the here and now through our five senses, unadulterated by the 70,000 thoughts that normally interpret what our five senses are telling us. We need to let ourselves be. We need to let it be. Now, we do that through meditation. There are no ifs and buts about that. Meditation is the only scientifically validated way that we have of coming to our senses. That's a quote from the University of Massachusetts Medical School that developed mindfulness-based stress reduction therapy to ensure that people who had been given a terminal diagnosis dealt with the terminal diagnosis without suffering from the stress that would otherwise be associated with that, and in the process, enhanced their survivability sixfold. Since the 1980s, when that process was developed, and basically mindfulness-based stress reduction therapy is simply meditation. Mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, basically the same thing. Your average mindfulness course, your 8-week mindfulness course, the same thing. It's meditation, meditation. Why? Because in the last 20 years, neuroscience has proven that meditation changes the neural pathways and their structure and their interconnectivity in the subcortical brain, in your subconscious mind, in your heat-seeking missile, so that the thoughts that would otherwise get in your way don't, full stop, and that you are fully aware of what is going on in the here and now, as a result of which you are fully aware of what you need to do, just like in evolutionary times when you were confronted by a man or woman eating tiger. Now you know exactly what you need to do to get to where is best for you, which in evolutionary times was back safely to the campfire. Nowadays, you can, as a result of restructuring your brain through regular meditation, know where you are in any now, know what you need to do in any now, never put a foot wrong in any now, and effortlessly get to where you want to go, or should I say, effortlessly get to where is best for you. So forget conventional wisdom. There's no such thing. Those two words don't go together. Conventional means normal, and we know what we think of normal. Forget conventional wisdom. Forget this idea of accumulated knowledge. And just as an aside in relation to that, again, to address the comment that was made on YouTube, if I am, for example, an accountant, and I happen to be originally an accountant by profession, and I have a body of expertise that I apply, for example, in relation to evaluating a financial proposal for investment. You might say to yourself that the thought process that I use to make that evaluation, that's useful thinking. But again, the research has shown that if I learn anything new after the age of 12 or 13, I learn it through the stuff, the fundamental stuff that I learned before the age of 12 or 13. So I could have all the certificates on the wall that my wall would hold to say that I'm qualified at this, that, and the other. But when I apply that so-called knowledge, I do it through the fog of the 70,000 thoughts that I'm carrying around with me every day. There's no such thing as good thinking. If you want to live your life to the full, and by that I mean if you want to have a ball and enjoy yourself every minute of every day, then you need to start being. You need to allow yourself be. You need to let it be. That is how, and I'm going to use a word that I don't like right at the end of this, but some of you will know exactly what I mean. One word will suffice. That is how you manifest all good things in your life. One more word, and this is a word I do like that I used a minute ago, is effortless or effortlessness, because I used it a couple of minutes ago. Your life will be effortless if you let yourself be, because all effort comes from thinking. All effort comes from thought. I thought I couldn't do this. I think I can't do that. I don't think I can get away with saying that. We've discussed that on many occasions. All effort comes from thought. Allow yourself, let your thoughts go by allowing yourself be. Because then you enter what the University of Chicago calls flow. And when you're in flow, all good things flow. As always, you know what you need to do.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. To get involved, join me in my Facebook group, strangely enough called To Succeed, Just Let Go. And for more information, visit www.willie-hall.com.